Our gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. It can be found on page 57 in your New Testament Pew Bible. Our story this morning picks up immediately after the angel Gabriel has come to Mary to announce that she will soon bear a very special child. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the joy of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said,
"My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
There is something rather outrageous about these stories that we find the beginning of Luke's gospel that surround the birth of Jesus. But don't get me wrong, these are some of the most well-loved and cherished stories that Christians have been telling for the last 2,000 years. And today we're focusing in on Jesus' mother Mary and the wonderful example of faith and trust and belief in God that she is. However, it's rather outrageous that an uneducated Jewish teenage girl would be able to comprehend that she was going to hold and bear God's son. How was she able to fully grasp what she was being asked to do? Because how do you really go about disciplining that child, right? I mean, I have enough problems trying to figure out how to discipline my own kids. And on the spectrum of human and divine, they're very much on the human side. And Jesus, on the other hand, was this wonderful mix of both. How would you attempt to discipline him? And I don't even know how to address what must have been going through Mary's mind when it came to changing Jesus' diaper. I mean, that's quite the theological dilemma, isn't it? And we're just not going to go there today. You're welcome. But what might even be more outrageous is if we look at the story from a broader context, that being Israel, Jesus' people. They know, or at least there's a deep hope, that someone, a Messiah or a Savior, is coming to save them from Roman oppression. And Luke, the writer of this gospel, tells the story about the births of two very important people, Jesus and John the Baptist, who will be born to a poor, unwed Jewish teenager and an older woman who is incapable of having children. These two very important people that our scriptures tell us are the answered prayers to the longings of the nation of Israel, these two people are not born into a family of high priests who have immense power in the temple and the Jewish religion. They're not born into a family of emperors who are already ruling with sizable influence at their fingertips. Nor are they at least born into an upper class family that has some power and wherewithal. Instead, these two people, Jesus and John, are born into two people who you would never really expect. Now, I love our scriptures. I love these scriptures. I really do. Yet, I read them in different ways than I used to. So how I read scripture has somewhat changed and evolved from when I was a child or a teenager or even a young adult. I approach them in different ways. And so when we read texts like our scriptures, the first question we usually ask is, did this story literally just happen as it's written? Which is extremely natural to ask that question. And this story might have happened exactly as it's written. But that's actually the first stage, the first level of how we might approach and attempt to understand Scripture. Because I found that there's often much more under the surface when reading our Scriptures than did this literally happen. Instead, these Scriptures, these sacred stories that have been passed down from generation to generation, are meant to expand our thinking and push us to ask the kind of questions where answers are not easy and on the tip of our tongue. These stories are meant to challenge us and to force us to wrestle with God and ultimately to wrestle with ourselves. I came across the following questions when reading a devotional about a year ago by Richard Rohr that offers us some insight into what to think about when reading the Bible, here or at home. So first, ask yourself this question. What is God doing in this story? Second, what does this story say about who God is? And third, how might I then relate or be in relationship with this God? I found these questions will take us deeper. They take you deeper as you explore these stories that we have been sharing and telling and passing on for 2,000 years. And so in light of those questions, what might this story want to say to us today? And if we had time, I'm sure we could come up with dozens of answers. But for today, God comes to us in the most unexpected of people and in the most unexpected of places. I find it's fairly common to assume that God is to be found in the beautiful moments of life. So in the holy moments, the sacred moments, in the sunset, in the birth of a child, in the majesty of creation, in acts of compassion, service, and love, and answered prayer? And the answer to that is absolutely. However, in the journey of faith, that's only one side of the coin. And I wonder if Luke is telling us today that God comes to us in the most unexpected of places. That if we only look for God in the places that make sense, or that seem ordinary or expected, will only have a partial understanding of who God is and how we might be in relationship with this God. The catch, though, and there's always a catch, is that our eyes need to be open. That we need to be open to looking for God in unexpected places. And we need to welcome God into unexpected places. And Mary is the perfect example of what that looks like. The angel Gabriel comes to her with this news that is absolutely incomprehensible. How does anyone wrap their head around news like that? And Mary, she takes it in stride. She offers this prayer that is beautiful. And in doing so, we see that she is open, she is teachable, she's able to move beyond her comfort zone. And she acknowledges that she can only really control so much in life, which has to be one of the hardest lessons that we all learn, whether we like it or we don't. Yet when we acknowledge that we can only control so much, that is when we open up a space for God to enter in. That's when we pray that prayer, God, I cannot do this on my own. Please come and help. And that's a hard prayer to pray. It means acknowledging that sometimes we cannot do it ourselves. And that prayer almost feels un-American to me, doesn't it? It goes against everything in which we pride ourselves. Pull up your bootstraps and go get it done. Right? But if we think we can always do it ourselves, then what is there left for God to do in our lives? God, I can't do this on my own. Please come and help is this extremely powerful prayer because it opens up a space for God to be allowed in, whatever that may be, whatever you are going through today. And isn't this the season when arguably we need that the most? So I love this season. It is a fantastic, magical season. But at the same time, it can be overwhelming with all the expectations and the pressures that come with it. And so where in your life this Advent season do you need to let God in? Because when we open the door and we allow God in, God fills that space. God fills it with God. In Advent, we celebrate the story of the God of Israel who came into the world in the most unexpected of people, in the most unexpected of places. And thankfully, God has not stopped doing that. Amen.